Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here. Hello, happy podcast day. It's so fun to be here with you. We don't have pumpkin spice lattes this morning, but I feel like maybe next month, September. Is it too soon?
Maybe a little bit, but it's never too soon.
Do you have a hankering for a hoodie yet?
Yes, always.
Well, Michaela,
but I'm always a cold person. So.
You're what?
I'm always such a cold person, though. Oh, so
that's true. Michaela and I are up to our ears in caring for pumpkin vines, and we've got some weird fungus. I have no idea whether we're even going to have a crop, but we're up to our ears in that. And yeah, so I guess I have pumpkin spice on the brain. It's, you know, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing good. Got my tea.
Yeah.
Made myself some tea.
I've got a hormonal migraine thing going on.
Oh, nice.
I know. I get, well, you know this. I guess I'm saying this to everybody out there in podcast land, that like one of my PMS things is like migraine auras.
Mm-hmm.
I know that things are about to start when not necessarily by the calendar. I have reached the age where things are not necessarily regular, but my vision will go completely wonky, mm-hmm. and of course, followed by a headache, and not a crippling, I must go someplace in the dark or I'm going to vomit type migraine headache, but a bad headache. And so I have to take caffeine and ibuprofen, and that usually it, you know, kind of kicks it. But
yeah,
anyway, so in a moment, if this keeps up, you're going to look like some weird monster from Monsters, Inc. You're going to have one eye missing and like jagged lines above
spiky
your head.
Spiky hair.
What?
Spiky hair.
It's, yes, yes, you will have, and it'll probably be green or purple.
Oh, nice.
So write in, tell me, does anybody else get these things that have these like hormonal migraines with the auras? If so, you know, we should get together for coffee and ibuprofen. And discuss what weird hallucinating things. Sometimes, like, I'll be reading on a page and half the words, like, will be blanked out, will be missing.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah. So, September.
September. We're in a birthday season.
I know.
September is a birthday season.
Daisy was just 11, just had hers, mm-hmm. very, very end of August. And then my two cabooses, my two babies, baby boy, Silas is going to be 6 and little Maggie is going to be 4.
Oh, that is insane.
And you know what that means? I have my 8th kindergartner.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I know.
Yep. It's his year.
You think I'll get it right this time? God keeps saying here, have another go at this. No, I love kindergarten. It's the year for Si to get all the fun attention. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be any pressure to retain or master anything.
Yeah, it's just introductory.
Oh, and relational.
Yeah.
And lots of snuggling, lots of read alouds. My favorite part of kindergarten year is that after lunch, I'm focusing on my kindergartner. And if we fall asleep in the chair together because of story time and snuggling, that is just part of my kindergarten
curriculum.
It's just part
of kindergarten, yeah.
And I have no guilt or shame. I just say, I look at everybody
And kindergartner.
I have a kindergartner. This is what we do. This is science. This is it is science that kindergartners need a nap. And
like Maggie's going to let that happen.
I know. And then there's Maggie. She's not going to let Cy and I be laid back.
No.
But that's why I always do kindergarten after lunch.
Yeah, because she's down for naps.
Because the little ones are down for naps, and there's no competition for the kindergartner because the older kids aren't looking for any of my attention. They're like trying to sneak away.
Yeah.
She's with the kindergartner. Run.
Maybe she'll fall asleep.
Maybe she'll fall You speak as though you have done this before.
Well, sometimes I've been the one falling asleep with the kindergartner.
Maggie is ready for some preschool stuff, but spoiler alert, I don't really do preschool stuff. I just include my preschoolers in, well, I've had some dangerous preschoolers that if they were not with you, you needed to be figuring out where they were.
Yeah.
And so I always do my best to keep my preschoolers with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm, I don't know, if I'm peeling eggs, she's peeling eggs. Mm-hmm. If I'm folding laundry, she's folding laundry. If I'm weeding beans, she's weeding beans because I need to know where they're at.
Yeah.
And I think that the misconception sometimes in my mind, which not really anymore, but maybe in the beginning, was that my preschoolers weren't getting what they needed.
Uh-huh.
But when you think about all of the teaching and the reading aloud and the things that I do with the older ones, the fact that the preschooler is sitting right there next to me doing busy work, you know, lacing or playing or folding tea towels or whatever, that preschooler is learning, she's listening, or he, to everything that I'm teaching and reading aloud.
Yeah.
And I don't know, miraculously when they're 4 or 5, one day they just kind of start singing their ABCs or naming all the colors. And I'm thinking, I did not teach you that. And then your dad will be like, you totally taught them that. You just indirectly did it. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that sticks better than trying to.
It's always worked before. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, that's a great jumping off place for our verse-by-verse study of the model prayer. You're like a broken record with repeating it around here every morning.
Aww.
But like you said, if it's not broke, we're not fixing it. So let's get into our Bibles, New Testament, Book of Matthew, chapter 6. And we are in verse 9 where the model prayer begins. And I'm just going to start reading there in verse 9.
Okay.
Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in our last discussion, we were focusing on the second statement in that teaching. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And in our last episode, you shared how you use that passage to lead us in prayer during our Bible time here at home.
Right.
And you gave examples of how you teach the little ones how to pray. And I recommend if anyone is just now tuning in that you go back to episode 6 and listen to that conversation.
Yeah.
We talked a lot last time about how you've been a mom of preschoolers for 23 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
24 in October.
Okay.
This October. Okay. So fun fact, this October is mine and daddy's 30th anniversary of when we met.
Oh, okay.
So October, I've got a cough again. Goodness. I've got a frog. So, we met in the fall of 94.
Okay.
On October the 1st. So 2024 is basically our 30th anniversary of, you know, dating or being together or whatever. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, my anniversary of being a mama is in October as well. So this October will be the 24th anniversary of the first time I saw those two sweet little blue lines on a pregnancy test that meant you are a mama.
And yet you still have all your hair.
Yeah, I haven't pulled it out yet. I have a lot of gray in there, but it is still all there.
And in all those years, You shared how Father God led you to get your morning devotions and your personal prayer time in by doing it with your preschoolers.
Well, I think it's my version of work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
I think most people would not follow me around and go, oh, look, she's working smarter, not harder. If I had a personal assistant, it might be someone whose tagline is, I will teach you to work smarter, not harder. Morning devotions with lots of preschoolers did not come easily.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it came with a lot of really hard mornings.
Yeah.
A lot of mommy getting mad at everyone and blowing up and trying to push through mm-hmm. some type of devotion. Another common scenario, well, not real common, but another scenario is one where I might completely give up and just skip devotions altogether, only to save the blowing up scene for later in the day mm-hmm. because I was trying to work and do all of the unending tasks of a young mother in my own strength and yeah. not drawing on the strength that comes from remaining, mm-hmm. that comes from setting my mind on Christ. Yeah.
And you ended the last podcast by breaking into song, nothing new there, and singing John 15:4, take care to live in me and let me live in you.
Yes. Are you making fun of me?
No. Oh. I like that song.
Okay.
I like that one.
Well, I don't just like that song. That song is... that is an anchor for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I write these little scripture songs. And so we do a lot of sunlight.
Yeah.
Sunlight, for those that aren't in the homeschooling world, sunlight is a history. Well, it's a full curriculum. You could get every subject you want.
Yes.
I've only ever done like the history and the literature of it. But it is basically a book list.
Yep.
And they are... procuring, screening, mm-hmm. putting together this amazing book list for different yeah. periods in history.
And as a student who's gone through it, totally recommend that for
yeah, it's a really good program.
As a history course.
And the way that they describe their books is they call them living books. So instead of getting your history from a textbook, they and the living books idea is not a sunlight, you know, that's mm-hmm. just a concept. That's a common idea. It's not just attributed to sunlight. But my point here is that they say there is much value in teaching history through living books. Mm-hmm. And let's just use the Little House on the Prairie series.
Yes.
There are very few American kids from the Midwest, at least. Mm-hmm. That didn't learn about churning butter from Ma Ingalls.
Yeah.
Or, you know, training a... every 4-H kid knows that you get your trips for training a show calf from the book Farmer Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, Almanzo yeah. was the original calf guy. You think about Almanzo going with his dad to chop ice.
Mm-hmm.
Just these different things. And Sunlight says that when your child reads those books, and especially when you read those books aloud to your child,
mm-hmm.
they become like a hook on a timeline. So imagine this timeline in your child's mind that's running like a on the wall. And that wall has a strip of like a hat rack
mm-hmm.
and it has hooks on it. Good grief. Excuse me. And you can hang your hat on these hooks.
Yep.
And what Sunlight is saying, and I'm probably not, maybe this isn't that great of an analogy, but it's what I think of, is that my kids can think 1870s, 1850 to 1900 on this huge timeline, and they can hang their hat up on this one hook, and that hat is Almanzo Wilder,
mm-hmm.
Laura Ingalls. Oh, American West,
yes.
The frontier. What was going on? That was before the Civil War. 1860. How long did that? Oh, Across Five Aprils. I remember the boy from that book and another hat is getting hung on a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very, very, I mean, my oldest, Dalton, or Luke, either one, huge history buffs, both of them. Mm-hmm. And literally, I mean, they can talk to you about Teddy Roosevelt, mm-hmm. and then they can go into World War One, and then they're going into World War Two, and everyone else is just like, what in the world? Because they know these weird, obscure things, but they're just coming from living books.
Yeah.
And not Dalton so much. Dalton is an actual history nerd. Luke really read lots of novels. Yeah. And Luke is, or Dalton's more of a documentary, nonfiction person. Either way, those living books allowed you kids to really remember. And it's like a hook. It's like an anchor that allows you into it's kind of your gateway into recalling a broader time of history.
Yeah. And it gives history a personality. It makes it real.
And I say all of that to say the same concept is true of these little scripture songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an entire passage of scripture. Sometimes I write entire passages of scripture that are song. But for the most part, our little scripture songs are meant to take you as an anchor, a hook on a biblical timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To hang your hat, and it takes you back to a passage.
Yeah.
And so take care to live in me and let me live in you. Okay. So that's taking me to John 15.
Mm-hmm.
And John 15 is all about abiding in God's love. And that is an anchor passage for me. And so when I think of that short little scripture song, then I'm drawn into that whole passage. And then I can go and, if I choose, memorize that entire passage so that I have that in my bank. Mm-hmm. I have that in my tool chest for fighting during the day. Things that are not stored up in my mind are not, you know, you think of all the armor that a soldier might have on him.
Yes.
He cannot use his gun if it's not oiled, if his powder's not dry, if it's not ready.
Yeah.
And so I want scripture in my mind where it's ready to go. But I don't have John 15 memorized. Mm-hmm. Maybe that needs to be my new memory passage. Maybe I need to work on that.
Yeah.
I am going to flip over there, though, and read it. So these are words of Jesus. They are recorded by the disciple John. Mm-hmm. John was the younger brother of James.
Yep.
They were called very, very early in Jesus's ministry. So you've got Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John. Their trade was fishermen. But something that set James and John apart was they were called the Sons of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, supposedly fiery.
Yeah.
Thinking rebel, you know, we're going to fight. We're being occupied by the Romans. And,
yeah.
Right. So young men that were really fiery, very political. Okay. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Mm. So the little scripture song that I was singing a while ago, take care to live in me and let me live in you, that is from the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. This phrase, take care to live in me, I was reading this out of the NASB, and that's New American Standard Bible. And the New American Standard is more of a study. Mm-hmm. It's like you would want to use that if you're studying. So when I memorize this little scripture song in the New Living Translation, that's not my study Bible.
Yeah.
That is not something I want to pick apart.
Uh-huh.
It is a fun, light translation for my children. Yeah. And then I'm using that as my hook. Mm-hmm. To get me into this anchor passage. And then I'm going to go study that in the NASB, mm-hmm. in the ESV. And so the Greek editors for the NASB, they translated that phrase, take care to live in me, into one single word. It's a verb, mm-hmm. abide. And the Greek word is meno. And I'm going to say that again, meno. It's just spelled M-E-N-O. And while it means to remain or abide, it can take different applications. Here are some ideas that that word can mean. It could mean to remain in a certain place. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to abide here at the house for 3 months. Or maybe you might say, I'm going to abide in a dormitory at school, mm-hmm. for the fall semester.
Yeah.
So that's the first use. It could also be a reference to time, meaning to stay the course, to persevere or endure. I'm going to abide in this situation.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to remain in this situation. I'm going to stay here, persevere. I'm going to endure this. Mm-hmm. Now, a last meaning, and this is the one that's being used by John here in chapter 15, is to remain in hope, to remain in faith, to remain in love. Mm-hmm. So the other two were kind of a physical thing. And yes, this one is more a spiritual, a mental and emotional thing. Mm-hmm. So specifically, this passage is talking about remaining in love. So we talked about, you know, is remaining in faith, hope, or love, mm-hmm. and not just any love, but remaining in Christ's love. And when you break this down, this is the kind of study that becomes personal. Mm-hmm. I am not against a reading plan. Like if you are just reading through your Bible.
Yeah.
Like I have a reading plan today. I have to read this many passages in the New Testament and the Old Testament, or maybe you're just reading through one book and mm-hmm. you're just reading through it this year. Or maybe you have a plan. I'm going to read through the whole New Testament this year.
Yeah.
And my question is, do you go deeper? Mm-hmm. If you have a reading plan, that's fine. But do you take your reading for the day and go further? Pull out one verse, mm-hmm. pull out one word. That's when God begins to apply it to, that's when God gets up in your business.
Yeah.
And so this really has struck me. And in my experience over the years as a wife and a mother of really small children and lots of children, it has absolutely required this admonition John gives to take care, in that phrase, take care to live in me. Take care to remain in my love. Mm-hmm. Take care to abide in my love. It requires a plan. It requires intentionality, being intentional.
Yeah. Do you have the word abide marked in your Bible? I mean, look how many times John repeats it in his writing. I mean, it is definitely the theme of this passage. And he makes his point by using that Greek word, meno?
Is yes, that what it was? Meno. Yes, yeah, meno. That's right. Good.
Over and over and over.
Yeah. And look at verse 11, the last verse in the passage. It contains the, here is why I'm saying this to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the why for the entire passage. These things I have spoken to you so that, and I, just a study tip, anytime you're reading through a passage and you see a so that, mark it in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And mark it the same exact way in every time you see it in your Bible. So that, mm-hmm. I just said it naturally, so that
yeah,
you are looking for the so that's.
Mm-hmm.
They are the whys of the motive, the intention. Why are you doing this? So these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full.
Mm-hmm.
Honest question here. Does anybody besides me struggle with joy? I feel like I should have whispered that in. Does anybody else struggle?
I don't know. I think some people are just happy, or their personalities tend to be that way. Like, they're just happy people.
I definitely agree with that. But happiness and joy are not the same thing.
Yeah. Happiness is more superficial and circumstantial. And that's kind of what I meant, is some people are just less prone to being bothered by all the circumstances of life, maybe less easily provoked.
I will sort of give you that. But joy is definitely not superficial.
Mm-hmm.
And it is absolutely not circumstantial.
Yeah, ask Paul.
Oh, I can give you a lot of people that are living on this earth right now.
Yes.
That just have a very hard life.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is deep. It's resilient. It is an unwavering contentedness. It has the power to keep your attitude in check. You don't necessarily have to feel happiness to have joy.
Yeah. And I'll agree wholeheartedly that it keeps your attitude in check. It allows you to get through just the monotony of life.
Yeah.
The daily unending chores and the work that never goes away, and still feel purpose and have a happy heart.
Ah, there you go. A happy heart. A happy heart is probably the best synonym for joy. Not to say I'm happy. You tell me, oh, she's a happy person. And then you tell me, well, she's someone that has a happy heart. Okay.
Yeah.
In my mind, I just went two completely separate places. Mm-hmm. The happy heart, that is joy.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, we are such a movie family. I don't want to put on that we sit around and watch movies all the time. But I feel like our family culture is a lot about movies that we've watched, like talking about movies and...
Yeah.
And books. Stories.
Both. Stories.
I think that it's
stories.
More that our family is really into stories. Yeah. We love stories. But remember Facing the Giants, one of our favorites. The football coach goes down the line and he pretends like he can smell the attitudes of the players. And he's like, woo, that's nasty. You stink.
That's probably the most powerful scene in that entire movie.
I agree. The director really nailed what he was trying to portray. And
yeah.
I feel like Jesus in this scene from John, where he's teaching the disciples, is saying that if they don't want their attitude to stink, if they don't want to be discontented and nasty, if they don't want to infect others with their cynical attitude, and I'm reaching here, but these are all the natural consequences of not having joy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Then he's telling them, if you don't want all of that, then you need to be remaining in my love. You've got to abide in it. It is necessary that you live in it.
Yeah.
That you stay focused on it.
Yeah. And I can't help but think of the vinyl sticker that you spent your birthday money on, I mean, years ago now, when we still lived in the basement.
Which
you put the that vinyl sticker about joy across like 5 feet of the kitchen wall where you'd see it constantly.
It was like a billboard. It is still there. If you come over for a pumpkin spice latte,
it's hard to miss.
I will fix you a pumpkin spice latte in my basement kitchen and you will, you know, it needs to be neon though. Like I should have bought a neon like bar sign kind of light.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I had that made.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered it like from an Etsy shop or something.
Yeah.
And it was a lyric from a song I wrote. Find joy in the journey. What? Let me see. I got to sing it in my mind. It's the bridge. We don't get to choose just where we're going or how we'll get there in the end. But, and I'm not talking about heaven here. I'm talking about like your story, like your experiences. Yeah. We don't get to choose just where we're going or how we'll get there in the end. But finding joy in the journey of every day is what draws our hearts to him.
What prompted those lyrics? Where were we when you wrote that?
Lathrop.
Oh, okay, because I'm the toddler in that
you are
song.
Let's see. It's like the beginning of the song says, there's a paint-by-number turtle sitting on the kitchen counter just a-waiting for a spot on the wall. As a blue and brown Chevy Magic Marker creation needs some more tape before it falls. There's a little girl screaming because she can't find her sippy and her brother ran away with her doll. And I'm running from room to room wondering when the baby learned how to crawl.
And that was Charlie.
That was Charlie.
And Charlie is not a baby. Charlie's a grown man. So.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was when us four older kids.
You're
going to
make me tear up.
When we were five and under.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And motherhood was absolutely relentless because I had four, five and under.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, and, but the bigger deal with that is that I had three that were 2.5 and under.
Yeah.
So Luke was 2.5 and you were 14, 15, 16 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie was born.
Yeah.
So you guys are all a year apart. And Dalton was 5. And literally Dalton, Charlie was born like on top of Dalton's 5th birthday.
Yeah.
I went into labor with him on our 10-year wedding anniversary and had him the next day, straight up noon.
Wow.
And then I came home from the hospital and 4 days later Dalton turned 5.
Mm.
And what's uncanny is that they were like twins.
Yeah.
They still people mix up their pictures and they're
mm-hmm.
So that was a very relentless time in my life. We were not traveling out on the pipeline yet. He was still working for a gas company, which meant all week long, every week, he was out of state until Thursday night.
Yeah.
Gone. And sometimes Friday too. And I think I would... Just in answer to your question about what prompted those lyrics, I did not feel like I measured up.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as though I wasn't doing it right. I lived with a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. I learned that if I was going to survive that kind of emotional onslaught, I needed to speak the truth to myself and not just in the morning. I had to hear it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I was never going to operate from a place of joy, of deep contentedness.
Mm-hmm.
So I started talking to myself.
Well, and what does that sound like, that conversation with yourself? What is that truth? I want to know what that truth sounds like.
Okay, so that's a great question. I guess it sounds something like this. Margie, it's good to be responsible as a mother. It is good to be organized. It's good to make healthy meals. It's good to clean the house. It's good to teach your children morals and hygiene mm-hmm. and manners and skills. But that is not what determines your acceptance before God.
Mm-hmm.
You are accepted before Father God because Jesus died and paid the debt you owed Father God for your sinfulness. It's his record that makes you acceptable to God. So that's, you know, maybe that's what that would sound like. So on the days or in the moments when I was patient with you kids,
mm-hmm.
maybe made a meal plan and grocery shopped or successfully potty trained without crying and eating a Snickers, then this might be what that self-talk would sound like. Margie, God accepts you because of Jesus, not because of your good record today.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the days when I felt like I failed, and I'm just going to say what maybe that looked like. If I corrected in anger mm-hmm. rather than from patience, maybe I stopped at McDonald's and bought nuggets rather than fixing lunch. That was always a hard thing for me, because if your dad was never home and I didn't have a husband to fix supper for, the temptation was to just feed you guys nuggets or something like that. And then maybe I just kind of got hateful and told everybody to go to their room, or put everybody in their room. So you mm-hmm. guys were really little, so that I could hide in my closet for 15 minutes and freak out over how I was getting everything all wrong. So in those moments, this was what my self-talk would have to sound like. Margie, God has not stopped accepting you because you have chosen to react to being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. God has not stopped accepting you because you're sinning in your anxiety today. And I mean, it's why? Why could I talk to myself like that? And honestly, here, let's get real. Why am I able to still talk to myself like that today? Remember, I still have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old mm-hmm. and an 8-year-old who are, I'm mothering in the present tense.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason I can talk to myself is because God is holy.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is the reason I can talk to myself and say, you are choosing to react to being overwhelmed. Some people would say that that's harsh. Or I would, if I say something like, Margie, you are sinning in your anxiety today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would say anxiety is not sin. Oh, contraire, mm-hmm. mo frere.
Yeah.
That's not true. And that's what I mean by you must speak the truth to yourself. Yes. You cannot get over a disease mm-hmm. that you are not willing to diagnose.
Yeah.
And treat. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not just call anxiety a disease, but in our current culture,
mm-hmm.
we're making fear and anxiety an acceptable place to reside
mm-hmm.
and say, well, this is just part of who I am.
Yeah.
And that's not biblical.
Yeah.
God says in his word 365 times, do not fear. Well, what is anxiety?
It's fear.
Name it. It's a fear.
Yeah.
It is a fear. And God says, don't be afraid. Put your trust in mm-hmm. me. So if I'm not, so yes, my self-talk is very, I try to get right to the point, not make any excuse for my behavior. And I can talk to myself like that with full confidence because God's holy. The Bible says he must judge sin. So he absolutely can judge me and say to me, well, that's it. You really blew it today. You're out. Get out of here.
Yeah.
God could do that because of his holiness. But he does not because Jesus. Mm-hmm. The only reason God does not kick me out and agree with my self-assessment is because Jesus is seated right there, right next to the Father. The Bible, Hebrews, says Jesus is seated next mm-hmm. to the Father. And he is saying, Father, I see that Margie is making a mess of it today. She has agreed with the evidence. Mm-hmm. I agree with the evidence. I see that she is choosing to sin. She's choosing to go her own way. But I paid for that.
Mm.
My blood paid the penalty for her sin. You judged me for that on the cross, and I paid her debt in full. You cannot judge her again for the same lifetime of sin that I already paid for. That wouldn't be justice. I paid for it all.
Yeah.
Jesus is my advocate, my defense attorney, and my acceptance before Father God is found in Him. I have to tell myself these little scripts every day, sometimes several times a day. And that song, My Life's History, was, and quite frankly, still is, a good place for me to remind myself of the why in my parenting journey.
Yeah.
And the hook in that song is, the way His grace is changing me is writing my life's history. In the first two choruses, I say, today the way I choose to be is writing my life's history. And that always bothered me because it's a very condemning thing to say that to yourself. The way you're acting right now is writing your life's history. Get it together. Well, that's not helpful.
Uh-uh.
But the last chorus and then the tag, I change it to, the way His grace is changing me is writing my life's history.
Yeah, because God is writing your story.
He is, and we need to live in an economy of grace where I give you grace, you give me grace, God gives me grace, and I am to be a conduit, a pipeline of His grace to others.
Yeah.
But I have to receive His grace. And if I'm doing nothing but condemning myself in my head, then I'm going to pass condemnation on, not grace. So God is writing my story. He's writing your story. To every Christian woman who's listening, who has been covered in the blood of Jesus, He's writing your story too. But ladies, we have to participate.
Yeah.
It can be so discouraging when the house is always trashed, when the kids are always making messes, when the kids are always melting down. It's discouraging when the culture is working hard and fast against you in every single effort that you make. It's discouraging when your husband is working hard to provide and isn't as focused or in tune on what's going on the home front.
Yeah.
And in a word, it's just overwhelming.
Yeah, you just named a lot of things that are out completely out of our control. Kids making messes, the house being messy, the culture being bad, your husband, my dad. None of those things are in our power to control.
And I had to learn, Sissy, that my attitude, my joy, my choice to abide in Christ's love was where my power resided. A woman has tremendous power as an influencer.
Ooh, that's a buzzword for my generation.
Isn't it?
Everybody wants to be an influencer. They're everywhere. It seems like a lot of influencers are trying so hard that they even get themselves killed or hurt in the process.
Oh,
I mean, the
whole
influencer craze is insane.
But it's there and it exists because we give it oxygen.
Yeah.
There is power in influence. And if women could really harness the power they have to influence their husband and children with love, with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness,
self-control, the fruit of the Spirit.
Right. The fruit of the Spirit. If we could understand the power we have to influence our families by being, here's that word again, a conduit.
Explain
a
what
pipeline.
That means, real quick.
Yes. I am not producing these virtues in my own strength. I am resting, abiding, staying in Christ's love. And the exchange is that He is filling me with peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it is being passed through me like a pipeline or a conduit onto my husband and children.
Yeah.
So God is filling me so that I can fill them.
And the goal is that when they're grown, like me, they're abiding on their own and allowing God to fill them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But moms of adult kids know that it never stops. We mothers of adult kids are even more aware of the need to speak life and speak Christ's love into our adult children's lives at every opportunity. because y'all need unconditional love and support and truth and encouragement to handle life in 2024.
That is the truth. It has been years since you've sung My Life's History. But do you think that we could end with that today?
Oh, yeah. I love that song. I'll probably cry singing it. That was a hard time. But it was the sweetest time as well. My heart is so tender to mamas trying to balance it all without any big kid helpers. When everyone is still little and you are outnumbered. Yeah. And I would love to sing that song for those mamas and encourage them that God sees them. There's a very special Bible verse coming to my mind. Isaiah 40:11. He says, in Isaiah, God says, this is about Father God. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arm and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Amen.
So Father sees you, mama of littles, and this song is for you all. Bless you.
There's a paint by number turtle sitting on my kitchen counter just a waiting for a spot on the wall. And a blue and brown Chevy magic marker creation that needs some more tape before it falls. There's a little girl screaming cause she can't find her sippy and her brother ran away with her doll. And I'm running from room to room wondering when the baby learned how to crawl. And the phone rings. He's gonna be late again. I try not to scream, and then my mood sets in. And when today is just a memory, what will my children think of me? Did I choose to love? Did I choose to laugh? Or did the little things always make me mad? I pray for wisdom when I'm on my knees, and the Lord is faithful in showing me that today the way I choose to be is writing my life's history. See a snow-covered canvas as I look out my window at a snowman going nowhere at all. The season in life, he and I have a lot in common, like my heart's engine is stalled. It's the little things I have to do over and over that make me so mad I could bawl. But the days in life that make you the strongest are the ones where you have to crawl. Then I hit my knees and give it up again. I try not to scream, and then his grace sets in. And when today is just a memory, what will my children think of me? Did I choose to love? Did I choose to laugh? Did the little things always make me mad? I pray for wisdom when I'm on my knees, and the Lord is faithful in showing me that today the way I choose to be is writing my life's history. No, we don't get to choose just where we're going or how we'll get there in the end. But finding joy in the journey of every day is what draws our hearts to Him. And when today is just a memory, what will my children think of me? Did I choose to love? Did I choose to laugh? Did the little things always make me mad? I pray for wisdom when I'm on my knees, and the Lord is faithful in showing me that the way His grace is changing me is writing my life's history. Yeah, the way His grace is changing me is writing my life's history.